Good morning. Happy Wednesday, July 23rd, 2025, here with another episode of your collaborative AI intelligence report, Value First AI Daily. Nico, how's it going today?
It is going. It's another great day in the AI world. There's a lot of news that came out of yesterday, but a lot of news lately, particularly in the realm of how do we deal with this new construct of pricing and product and service and value. And it's interesting. It's interesting to watch what's going on. I think we were talking about it the other day, and we're talking about the fact that like this has actually been around for a long time, right? What is happening now is that rather than and hold on to your butts, rather than your software being a service, it's now basically a utility. And much like any other utility, you can't charge me a flat. It doesn't make any sense. If my electric company charged me a flat monthly rate, either I lose out or they lose out. That's just the way that works. Either I'm going to end up using way more electricity than they could possibly imagine, right? Or their pricing is going to be for somebody that does use that much electricity on average, and I have to pay for it because I need some, but not all. And now it's changed because it's no longer me accessing my data, and I'm not accessing it 24/7. It's now my agent or my terminal, and it's only pinging it every once in a while. So I'm only trading so many tokens so often that that becomes a measured way. Every time you touch a record in HubSpot, there's an API call. Even if it's internal, it doesn't matter. For companies to say like, oh, we don't know how to do tokenization. Yeah, you do. You have a measure. You have a measure of usage. It's not like there's no, it's ridiculous to say that you don't have a measure of usage. You have more usage statistics on the on that back end than anybody could ever hope for, right?
Yeah. And I'm
From a
gonna
SaaS point of view, it's like, I
play this quick intro to this podcast. I can't wait to listen to the rest of it, but the first 40 seconds was so good because we've been talking about similar stuff related to how HubSpot pricing has been just all over the place, so hard to understand. When you try to understand it from a traditional viewpoint. So I'm just gonna play this clip. Real
it
quick.
used to be like the rule of thumb was you don't change your fundamental pricing model more than once every 5 years. Agentforce, like literally Salesforce, one of the biggest companies in the world, changes fundamental pricing structure 3 times in the past 12 months. Now, that's like insane to me. Like, I don't know how they retrain their sales team and, maybe it's going well, maybe it's not. But the point is that some of the largest companies in the world are moving at historical speeds. And so if you're the one sitting there, startups on the one hand are kind of like cannibalizing or rewriting your market, and you're sitting on a pricing change that you're going to sit and you're going to do a 9 month case study and then roll it out after 6 to 9 months, you're going to be like a year and a half behind. And by the time you even go live, your pricing model is going to be outmoded.
And I can tell you what he's referencing there a little bit later on is the fact that he used to work in those departments. He used to work in the pricing departments and talked about the fact that for them to change pricing in, I think this was at Dropbox. So not like, I mean, enterprise level, 2 to 3 months. Just because of like the way that accounting works, basically, and because of billing, 2 to 3 months to get a pricing change. Way too slow. You have to, like, the new business model is five people strong like almost maximum. And I wish I was joking. Like, your average business going into the end of this year will be 2 to 3 people. And those 2 to 3 people can make a decision like that. So you're 2 to 3 months.
Yeah.
Way behind.
And this is what we felt. And this is why, as soon as I kind of felt what was going on with seats-based pricing in HubSpot, I was like, I don't see them putting any effort into helping anyone figure this out. And this is a bridge that they kind of built the bridge already, but they're choosing not to walk across it because AI is just going to figure all this shit out like for them. And this, like, because that concept of 3 times in 12 months, I don't know how you train your sales. You don't train your sales team. They are not equipped to be able to, especially in that kind of an enterprise motion of like everything is pipeline based and we go over value props and we get so crystal clear on the exact motion we expect everybody to go down. That is why when it comes to seats-based pricing, you cannot get any generalized advice like anywhere. And they want to handle every situation on a case-by-case basis. That tells us not a lot of people, if any, really know how it works. They don't know how it works against the old way of licensing. They don't know how it works against the new way of what was first just Breeze Intelligence, but now Customer Agent, where now you get usage credits with the licensing that you pay for. So there's no separation. So now we've got 3 different pricing models baked into the same usage that we've had like for a while, right? And that you don't teach your sales team, you don't teach new customers. And the reason everybody else can move fast is because the feedback loop with customers, like the barrier to entry is zero when you go this usage-based route, right? And it's zero in that, I think you were describing yesterday, or maybe it was this weekend, like it's not like freemium, right?
Right.
Where you can log into it, you can build a free HubSpot portal, right? And you can use stuff. But what do we hear about next? I got to pay for everything. Like I hit paywalls everywhere and I don't like it.
That's right? That's the other thing. If you notice, here's one thing that I notice about pretty much every AI company right now, every new AI company. So like current companies that are like, oh, we embedded a bunch of AI product. Okay. If you want to like a really good example of like what pricing model change looks like, pretty much all of these companies, the way that they operate is use the entire suite. You have unlimited access. Well, I shouldn't say unlimited access, but you're not restricted price wise by a gate from using any features. But some features credit wise cost more than others per use of them, right? So per marketing email that you design, that's a cost. Per landing page you design, that's a cost. Like there's measurable costs to all of that stuff, right? And that adds up to whatever your monthly bill is. Now, the reason, so when we talked about like a few months ago, like, I mean, this is a much, much larger ripple effect. So I'm not going to hang on this part for too long, but the reason we talked about like why this is so fundamentally different is because, and the reason why people are having a hard time holding on to it, the IMF yesterday just announced that like they are struggling to try to wrap their heads around what the new forecasting models look like, because AI it's doing things monetarily to the market that nobody had accounted for. And that's because, I'll say this again, the internet wasn't owned by anybody. It's the largest utility in the world, not owned by anyone. Okay. AI is about to become the second layer of utility to the internet. That's how fundamental it will be. It will be everywhere in everything. And people own it. So it's going to make oodles and oodles and oodles of money. And it'll just keep doing that at a rate that we hadn't, who cares if we accounted for it, right? Like, for once, we might actually balance budgets and pay back debts as countries, right? Like, oh, woe is us, right? So, all right, let's bring it all back. The reason that it kind of sucks for businesses is because all of a sudden, your ability to bullshit your stockholders goes right out the window. You can't sit there and say, oh, well, we have to hit XYZ projections by, you know, year end. No, you actually have to turn around and say, we have to make sure our product is XYZ good and delivers ABC value so that we can retain our customers. Customer retention. I don't know. Customer lifetime value. Right?
Yeah.
Most important metric that you could possibly measure. Customer lifetime value.
Yeah.
MRR. Out the window. ARR, right. Out the window.
URR. Is anybody using that yet? Like,
not yet.
All right. How is that not a thing? You said ATC, recurring revenue.
URR, right?
But yeah, and we've seen, like, it's not that there's no room for other stuff. It's just unlikely to work because it just, again, adds unnecessary complexity. Like, you know, Texas is free to choose like which providers you want from electricity. It's competitive market. So maybe your commercials related to productization of usage, right? And it's like, oh, free nights and weekends. Or you can
turning into the cell market.
Right. Or you can get into like flat fees, but it's still based on usage. It's not based on anything else, right? They only can decide what the flat fee for you should be based on your usage history. And it's just to help everybody try and control costs, like even in the household budget, right? Like it's crazy in the summer when you all of a sudden it's spark paying like $200 more, right?
Right.
And trying to find ways to manage that is what everybody wants because the humans have had to do it. Like these are the secondary impacts. What you just described with IMF, humans are not going to be able to forecast this. AI will be able to,
yep.
Right? So my hope and prayer and dream is that the difference between companies like Salesforce and HubSpot, where you just have this Salesforce has been built on expand and compromise, right? Locking everybody into contracts. Even if you go bankrupt, they're coming for your money. So many stories to go find out there, right? Imagine HubSpot, because they do have all this kind of language in their contract. They can change this stuff like whenever they want, right? Yep. For any good reason. And let's say they're still focused on grow better and the things we've always counted on them for. Imagine a world where we get to January 26th and they have done enough work with the support of AI to just say, look, folks, this is the future. Everybody's moving to usage-based pricing. Here's why. Here's what it means transparently. Here's how we're going to do it so that our stock doesn't tank. And that our shareholders are still seeing, you know, profitability. But here's also, because we can use AI at this scale of just pattern recognition and trend analysis, that's the part where you start adding like licensing and seats and like, how do you know which company is going to use seats when? That's unnecessary complexity added, and it makes it impossible for anybody.
right,
to forecast, which is why we haven't done it yet. Like all the earnings calls are still based on like number of enterprise licenses, which hubs are licensed, how many full platform licenses are out there. When you move everybody to usage, this is where like if the internet is like utility one, AI is that layer. It's like creating a new electrical grid for the entire world.
Yep.
And implementing it, which only AI will be able to like define what it means to use that. But once it does, this just entire layer of B2B, like licensing complexity, just evaporates. And all of the cost and effort, like that's why we're here. Like when you decide to do that as a company out of the gate, like guess what? I don't have to train my sales team on how the pricing works anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't have to spend time on pricing strategy, like, because we can't figure out the math of, you know, the value-based pricing that everybody struggles with. And this whole concept of like, you have $5 a seat, $50 a seat, and $500 a seat, that's like, you know, the basis for all SaaS pricing from enterprise to like, you know, personal usage. Mm-hmm. Just all that stuff like cuts through. And that's where like, once you get there, there's so much secondary impact of the effort and cost that goes away. That is going to play a huge role in getting to this space of abundance and, you know, zero cost products and services. It's like all connected. And the fact that it's all connected, humans will not be, we're not built to figure out this, to dig into the scale of this problem. Right. All we can do is help AI do it as fast as possible, which I believe a lot of people to be working on. That's why you hear, like you mentioned yesterday, OpenAI, like $10 per, just move down to $2 per, because the math says so.
Yep.
And that's it. And when we can scale everything back to first principles like that, shit, man, everything gets easier. Surprise.
Right. And it's, again, like it's impending. This isn't something that is like, you know, with like, I listened to the CEO from, or the co-founder the other day, and he was saying the same thing. You know, everything that Dario has said, Dario Amodei from Anthropic, everything that he has talked about in terms of like what he feels is going to happen, machines of loving grace, like all of that, it's all come to pass. Some of it a little bit sooner than what he thought, but he's pretty much right on the mark. Okay. Sam is very much at the same pace, wanting to be a little bit faster, but not quite there. Right. So basically we've got the two largest companies, because Google's going to Google. We have the two largest companies racing towards zero cost development, right? You know, you can build software today that you couldn't build 6 months ago. Vibe code. I'm not saying like writing code. I'm saying vibe coding. Like vibe coding 6 months ago was pretty much a joke. Like, yeah, I could build apps, but it was like one-off apps. They were real simple web apps. They weren't going to do anything crazy. Not anymore. Like, you can vibe code a very robust application now. Just take my word for it. And like to me, and again, like you can vibe code a very serious application for less than $100. Maybe even if it costs you less than $200, your startup cost is $200. Like that's insane to me, right?
Well, this is what democratization looks like.
Yeah.
Right. Like literally.
And the same thing is going to happen to energy. Right. And once the same thing happens to energy, then like a lot goes away. Right. Like, I mean, power altogether, like the ability of power plants to sort of control, right? Like that kind of goes away. Maybe they're super dedicated to data centers, right? Because that would make sense in terms of like who would actually pay for power usage of that magnitude. But you can't charge for fusion. And you can't really charge for fusion because it's self-sustaining. And I'm not insanely mistaken, but once we get it right, and for those of you who are wondering, like a fusion reaction is quite literally, it's like, Spider-Man, the old Spider-Man 2, with Doc Ock. The power of the sun in the palm of your hand is like 1,000 times the amount. I don't know. I think it's something like that, or maybe it's like 100 times the amount of energy of the sun or something like that in like a tiny reaction that sustains almost in this, like, again, like in this, whatever, the way they have it. The only thing that's stopping us right now is the physical science, which Google is just smashing left, right, and center. So we're obviously going to get there very soon. Zero cost development, zero cost, like near zero cost energy, zero cost production, right? We have robots. I mean, they are cranking them out, right? Now it's big news. What just happened yesterday? Anybody? China blew past the quantum computer barriers. Google had like set the bar for years now. And China just came out with a quantum computing machine that just makes Google's look like a toddler, basically. Like, we are so close to something that will change the face of humanity forever. Right. And like, so that's that scope. Let, you know, bring it all the way back down. Like, changing your pricing model should now not be a big deal.
Right. And that's where, like, I would love to figure out how to logic this together with the Oracle, because it's like, you can just keep removing variables. Like, okay, we won't have to pay for that, which means we won't have to pay for that. And then you won't have to pay for this thing. And it literally becomes value-based usage all the way back to bartering. Right. It's like, if you like something that I'm offering, it will be very easy to explain the amount of effort and expertise and like how I used my life to create this thing. And if you want it, there will be comparable things that you've done in your life to create value. And we're going to get so good at just, but I don't think we'll be doing, it won't be math. Right? It'll just be understanding the same way that we're easily spotting, you know, as simple as like looking at our email inbox and just seeing immediately which subject lines are for us and which ones are not. And like understanding that makes sense, that doesn't make sense. Like just inherently, like through all this training, through all this exposure, like we can with licensing right now. When you look up, I mean, I think it was a big deal for everybody. When I plug in Gamma, you know, for the first time, and it's like $10, and then you see what it does, and you're like, "What? This just, I can't even compute this pricing. Like, how are they all so low?" And obviously, a lot of dynamics there.
Mm-hmm.
But when the dynamics are this future of usage-based everything and costs going down, and they're all building on the same like foundation, that's one, like you build into the future, right? So you know you don't need to start at $100, $200, because then your system's not going to get the training it needs, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then also everybody else is coming out with stuff, and this is the pricing that's been decided, basically $20 a month, which is what they all started at. And then like, as a user, you're like, oh man, I'll spend $200 all of a sudden. Like, right. But that kind of like dynamic at play just helped like kind of reset. But it was against like $100 a month and higher for enterprise like software, even to the point of like not licensing, and I got to pay $100,000 to implement something, and I got to work with somebody for 6 months, and just all of that stuff and all the related cost, effort, heartache. Just imagine that being removed from the system. It's hard to quantify, obviously.
It is.
But when we're talking about all the traps and the SaaS trap and the B2B trap, and how just the best way I like to characterize it is just all this unnecessary complexity has been created. AI is inherently removing it. And MCP is one of the best examples of that, right? And I'm excited to see people, like you just shared the post about using, I got so excited, like, because this is an example of barrier to entry. I'm not a developer. So even though we have Erin Wiggers on the show and she shows exactly how to build out N8N, I'm still hesitant to go in because as she's showing stuff, there's code in places and it's like, okay, I experienced it one time, do a lot of work, can't cover the last mile. I'm never doing that again. So if that's any kind of possibility, I'm less likely to engage, right? Now it's possible for me to connect Claude to N8N to do it for me, right? And I still got to use it, obviously, but that's where, like, that's pretty much our weekend, I think.
I mean,
that's something you want to share here.
Yeah. So I just opened my email inbox. I've got several, so it takes a while to get around to them all. And my primary that's got the Google, subscription to it, Google AI subscription, just got an ad on the top of my email. It says, go from idea to video effortlessly with Google Live. Or Google Vids, you now have access to this. It's now live, you have access.
That is the best cliffhanger for tomorrow.
I mean, that on top of, like, 1 second. I do want to come back to this because, like, your head's going to explode when you read this. So we have a model that we've created. It's an Oracle, and it's filled with tons of, like, different causality points. So what we use it for is literally trying to predict the future. Thought this was great, and we could definitely dive into this tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh man. In the moment updates. That's the world we live in, folks. So until tomorrow, everybody have a great day.
See you.